Dricus du Plessis got it done, as we told you he would. The first guy to ever submit Israel Adesanya in the UFC. I mean, Israel's obviously lost a couple of times, but no one has made him look like that ever. And Dricus, well, we knew it was going to happen. He's put the work in, and I hope you bet on him, because we did tell you to do that as well. That obviously was preceded by the box beating the Wallabies again. And those sneaky Wallabies, I mean, we always knew that they were going to lose, but they really are finding new ways to curtail the thrashing. In the first game, they somehow managed to get us two yellow cards, so they scored a try. And in the second game, with half an hour to go, they just said, not scrumming. We are not going to scrum. That's it. We all got to fake head injuries. And the box eventually won by 30 points to 12. So we got a bit of a breather this weekend. There's no rugby championships. But what we're going to do is we're going to build the ultimate BOC A team. So in this little breather space, we're going to go through every single pod. Sandile and I might agree, might not agree on everything, but we're going to go through the whole thing so we can assess what this A team could be to take on the All Blacks next week. And of course, we got the Formula One back this week. It's the Dutch Grand Prix. And what happens every summer is that all these Formula One types, they need like a month break during the summer to go appreciate their yachts and their cars and stuff. But then they come back. And now we have 10 races left in the Formula One season, all coming back to that's this weekend. Sandile, that is pretty much what we're covering today. First of all, how was the weekend for you? Were you as euphoric as everyone else?
Oh, what an awesome weekend. Big hangover weekend. Dricus.
Justifiable.
Dricus, sensational. Made him tap. We didn't expect that. I actually have a question for you on that. Does he retire?
No, he can't, because this is the funny thing about Israel, right?
Yeah.
I thought he would retire. I called it in the seat. But because he's been doing all the strength and conditioning, Israel looked better than ever. He acknowledged he looked better than ever.
Yep.
And now he's like, I can fight. I got these muscles.
So you're ready to go again?
Yeah, of course he does. No, he's going to keep going. And he said as much. It's like, I'm not going anywhere. I feel great. And he just came up against the best. And this is what Dricus is. It's like, it's confirmed now. All the other shit talkers are still going to be there, but Dricus is the best.
Yeah, 100%. And I think for me, what was dope was to see all the other African champions really acknowledge it. You know, that's been such a call to, disrupt the narrative. So that for me was awesome. And, you know, at the end of the day, them as fighters also acknowledging one each other. You know, we always thought there was mad, bad blood, but, it was nice to see, Adesanya just, acknowledge Dricus. Springboks winning. As per usual, nothing
cut,
new.
Cut game, but I mean, great result, because now we're 10 points, top of the rugby championship.
Yep. Buffer, as we spoke about last week, that was awesome. And, my boys did the things that need to be done. We got our 3 points. United fans, all you player haters, the ones that were in my comments last week, what are you going to say this week? So it was an awesome weekend, Ben.
Okay, look, we'll get into the football in a little bit, but this week we're going to build the BOC team.
Yeah.
Before we get into that, we've also got a new addition this week. James is actually visually on the show, because we're so tired of him just having this like dark voice in the dark void. So there he is.
And what it looks like.
That is so great. I'm glad they put a background behind you, because it looked earlier like you were just auditioning for a really bad late night TV show, which maybe you are. I don't know what else happens in the studio when we're not here.
James, how was the weekend for you?
Oh, it was great. The box won, Dricus won, like you say. And then, of course, my headlines match yours, Sandile. Liverpool won. I'm happy.
I'll take that.
Okay, so before we get into the show today, and like I said, we are going to break down this BOC team. If you're watching us live on YouTube, feel free to get in the comments, share who you think your BOC A team is, and of course, just contest our stuff or just have other suggestions. But this weekend, our friends from Heineken, we're getting involved with them again. It is the Heineken Race Sundays. Now, Sandile and I went to one of these recently at our local Tiger's Milk.
Yeah.
Dutch Grand Prix. So it's a really cool occasion. We went back during the British Grand Prix.
Yeah.
And it's so cool. You get to one of the venues and basically order some lunch, order a bucket of Heinekens. And with that, you get some race cards. Now, the race cards get you into the ultra-realistic simulator. Now, the simulator is really great, because while you're there, you can actually race the track the Grand Prix on.
Yep.
So when we were there at Tiger's Milk, we raced the Silverstone.
Yeah.
So we're watching it, having a few beers, and then we got to race it. And then you can set fast laps against other Formula One fans. On that day, I beat Sandile by quite something. Not a big deal, of course, obviously. But, so
you guys set me up the whole week. Out of all the pictures I told you guys to put up, you put up this one? And also, let's tell the truth. Ben raced like three times because of how competitive he is.
That was our first lap. That was our first lap.
Guys, it's very realistic.
I tell you what we haven't done yet. I haven't shown you my second lap, which I was 10 seconds faster
in. Yeah, guys, that simulator is so realistic. You think you can drive until you go into that simulator. You really cannot drive.
And the really cool thing about this is that, you know, once you're there and you're enjoying all these kind of things, there's an actual further incentive why you want to get involved and why you want to race in the simulator, because you get a chance to go to the Red Bull Show Run. So that is happening on the 6th of October. Now, get involved. Your chance to win means that you could be with us in the Heineken Zero Lounge.
Yeah.
So you could hang out with us there. It's a really cool place. There is so much that we're going to get into closer to the time, obviously, but this weekend, if you are in the Gauteng, these are the places you need to get to. Either go to the Baron in Kyalami or Tiger's Milk Appleton's, which is in Roodepoort. Go on, have a few beers, get in that simulator, and you could be joining us for the Red Bull Show Run on the 6th of October.
You will.
It's a really cool way of watching sport. There's nothing better than being able to... I know all Formula One fans are the same, right? Yeah. You think, I can do this, I can do that.
Then
that simulator, you get to race the track you're watching on. Yeah. It's so cool.
It was a really awesome experience.
You're excited about that.
Really, really love that.
All right. So as we said, we're going to build the best Bok team today on the show. And, you know, for so long now, like we all trust Rusty for good reason. He is the best. We all know that this Bok team has got a really, really massive squad. And the guys get tested like we saw in the second Wallabies test. So lots of guys can jump into the fray, so to speak, and be the incumbents that they want to be. But who are we backing? Because we know that the next Bok team that gets announced is going to be basically the A team.
Yeah.
Because the A team needs to beat the All Black team at Ellis Park. Doing that, and of course, the next week again in Cape Town, that will wrap up the rugby championship for us right now. Yes, we've got to go to Argentina. Argentina come here. There are more games. But because we've started out with two bonus point wins, we just need to win the next two matches and we've got it.
100%.
So what we're going to do is we're going to go from segment to segment. So obviously front row, second row, back row, and the forwards. We're going to do halfbacks. We're going to do the center pairing, and then we're going to do the outside backs as well. So first up, pretty clear to me that we need right now Oxenchair, Bongi Mbonambi, and Frans Malherber. And then the replacements there for me will be Stephen Kitsoff coming back from injury. Malcolm Marx have finished the game along with Vincent Koch. That is my A-team, can't fuck with that, best front row.
So me and you disagree on this one. We agree Oxenchair just on straight up form, how he's been playing, probably playing best at his position worldwide. I have Malcolm Marx coming in
to start.
And you'll probably see it with the rest of my picks is I want high impact very early. The rest of the game, I think we will figure it out towards the tail end. But I want a really super experienced team early, a really physical team early, and a guaranteed wins early in the game.
But that's an interesting kind of point, though, because when you think about the A team, it's like, what's the A team going to do for 80 minutes? It's not about the starting 15, and we all know that the A-team now is the squad of 23, and the configuration of that might change from time to time.
Yeah.
Okay, so in the locks, there's been some injuries in the locks, of course. Now, the most injuries have come within the sort of, the loose head lock. So basically, if you have watched rugby all the years, but you know the intricacies, it's hard to say.
Get that again.
Get that one out there.
Yeah.
You're either number four lock or number five lock, okay? So as you go into the scrum, the number four lock is behind the tight head guy, and the number five lock's behind the loose head guy. Ben, the loose head prop is the number three, the tight head prop.
Ben, you're going to have to go super slow.
No, I've even fucked up.
Yeah, you got to go super slow. Please explain the lock breakdowns and what that means in the rugby terms for a layman like me and everybody else that watches.
So essentially, you got a guy, the number four is going to be your hard bastard enforcer kind of guy.
Cool.
So think Bucky's Boiter, think Ibn Etzebeth. He'll have number four on his back because he's the guy that's going to have all the major grunt. Okay. So you want to, so he's like the Oka number four. The number five guy, think Victor Matfield. Okay. So
more swag.
Think of someone with a bit more swag, bit more kind of flair. He's the guy that's going to run the line out. So he's more of the playmaker. Okay. He's going to be your ultimate apex line out catcher. He's also going to run what happens with the line out itself. So this guy will be maybe slightly smaller, not so physically abrasive. Doesn't come with the tag of enforcer.
Yep.
So right now, we've got lots of enforcers. We can basically put the guys out there. Ibn's our number one. Salman Murat. I mean, he's got Murat in his name.
He's got Murat in his name, yeah.
You know, he can cover for that. We've got other guys we can put in there. But talismanic number five, like Franco Mostert, the soak was good. Calls the lineouts, primary lineup jumper. Peter Setatoy, he started as a number five, and then he's gone to number seven. In many ways, if you look at this, Rusty kind of imagines that a playmaker... loose head lock can also be a blindside flanker.
Yeah.
So if you look at someone like Franco Mostert, he was a great seven, easy interchangeable kind of five. That's how it works. Same with Peter Siptoy. Yeah. He can do that role. And also, you know, you think of a guy like Ben Jason Dixon.
Yeah.
He can also kind of be this guy. 100%. Maybe play five lock. And then Rossi's put a bit of a sneaky in that when he named his new squad now, Nico Janssen van Rensburg's come into the mix.
Right.
Now, if you don't know this Oak from his background, he played initially for the Bulls. Jake White then went to Montpellier as the coach. He went with him.
Mm-hmm.
Stayed at Montpellier ever since.
Right.
So it's got one Springbok cap against Argentina.
And called him out for this one.
And then he left the squad on personal reasons, and he hasn't played since. So now what Rossi's saying is, we've got injuries at number five lock.
Right.
This Oak plays blindside flank for Montpellier, but he also runs the line outs in open play.
Right.
He does everything a number five lock does, except for scrum in that lock position. So that's it. Very long-winded about the locks here. I was trying to be more succinct.
No, thank you for giving us the breakdown. I hope everybody understood that.
But ultimately, look at your locks as like enforcer, playmaker, manager, line-out manager. Because when you're running a line-out, it's a really big deal. You're going to communicate with the Oaks, the hooker. It's all succinctly got to work. Okay. So for me, right now, Eben Nesbitt, number four, no problem with that. Number five, not my best choice, but I think right now, Ruan Nokia as a number five. He runs the line-out at the Bulls. He's going to be my Oak. And I've got Archie Snyman coming off the bench as the replacement number five.
Yeah.
Flex, well, hang on a second. We're jumping the gun a bit on the graphics. We'll get back to that Oak in a second.
I think this is the one where I also disagree with you. Cool. My narrative is always experience, especially because we're going against the All Blacks. So obviously we have Eben Etzebeth. We also know that he's going for the caps as well. We know we got to get these caps in as quickly as
It'll
possible.
It'll be 125 this weekend.
125 and then what, two more left?
And these two more to match Victor.
Okay. And then, okay, three more left. And then RG Snyman or Achia Snyman.
So you're going to start with Achia.
I'm going to start with Achia. Like I said, it's the same thing with Malcolm Marks. I really want the impact early. And then Ruan Nokia will come in and give, you know, relief towards the end of the year.
Okay, so that's how you're going to do it.
Yeah.
All right, in the loose forwards, now we had a situation where because the lock shortage, Peter Siptoy went into number five lock. I reckon there'll be number seven for this way and number seven going all the way through. Yeah. There's always this debate, who's the best rugby player in the world? People say it's Anton Dupont, but if you want to win games, obviously have Peter Siptoy because he'll tackle everybody except the ref.
Yep.
And if actually that was part of the game, he would tackle the ref too. So, Sio Kalisi number six, for me, no-brainer. Peter Siptoy at number seven. And Jasper Wiese, straight from his 17-year suspension, he comes back for me, back of the scrum, because there's been six test matches without him. I don't think any of those youngsters have stated their claim, or Quacker for that instance. So for me, Jasper comes straight back. And then replacement for me on that one is Ben Jason Dixon. You can cover back 100%. Row and second row. And then Quacker, because we know Quacker.
Yeah, I think I agree with you with the first two. I think Sia Kolisi is just standard, you know, leadership and everything else, all the intangibles we talk about. Peter Siptoy, we know, warrior. We're going to need him to tackle the whole way. Jasper Wiese, and I think I probably agree with you the most. This number eight position feels like our weakest position in the whole squad. Nobody's owned it.
Someone's just done a job. No one's dominated. Yeah. And the thing about Jasper Wiese is that you know he gets in the carries and he will tackle Oaks ferociously too.
So for me, it's strange because we always talk about depth in terms of the Springboks and everybody next man up and, you know, there's a star. In the eighth position feels like there is nobody, you know. And
well, you say that, but I think a lot of it's got to do with, like, look where we were. Dwayne Vermeulen and Jasper Wiese. Yep. Those two Oaks, when they take them away, the drop-off is huge. I don't care how good your youngsters are.
Yeah.
And, like, Ulrich Lowe is good. Yep. Evan Roos is good. Quacker's played eight before. He's all good players, but, geez, Dwayne and Jasper.
So your standards too high. No, I agree with you on that. No politics on that. I think me and you agree on that.
Okay, cool. Into the halfbacks. So now, for me, this is where it gets quite interesting. And we at the end of this, we're going to do a fully fit Bok A team as well, because we know there's a few injuries right now.
Yeah.
So Fuff is a major injury at nine. He's not around.
Yeah.
And for this weekend, I think the A team is, and I say this with a slight asterisk, my A team halfback pairing is Kubus Reinach and Sasha Feinberg and Goma Zulu.
That's crazy. Okay.
But what I will say is this is the A team that I'm predicting Rossi to pick. Me personally, I wouldn't pick Kubus Reinach. I don't think his box kicking is good enough. I don't think his continuity is good enough in general play. Though, because he's a fucking fast try scoring machine, he's good. But I don't think he's really great. I don't think he's really done enough with his game time to go. But I'm going to say that's what the best A team right now is. And then Replacements, we've got Grant Williams and, for me, Andre Pollard to finish a game if need be.
So, like I said, and I said I'm going to repeat myself the whole time, experience. At the nine, yes, as boring as Gorbis Reinach is, you know what you're
going to... I thought I was going hard. You're calling him boring.
Compared to who comes off the bench. Okay. You know, we know Grant Williams is so, you know, he's got flair, he's enterprising. But do you really want that against an all-black team? Or do you want to go with what you really know? So that is my, you know, my rationale with, you know, with Gorbis Reinach. You know what you're going to get. He's blitzing, but you know what you're going to get. And the same thing I have with Andre Pollard. I love what Sesheng Amazulu has done throughout the past two games. But I think Andre Pollard, when it's time, he's going to kick. He's going to make exactly the right decisions. This is not the game for a rookie to come in and make mistakes. It's such big stakes. We know SA and the All Blacks. And it's not an indictment on, you know, Sasha Feinberg Mabuzulu. He's been sensational, but it is against the All Blacks. So you really back experience. And I know it's the boring pick and, you know, Andre Pollard to start. And, you know, you close the game off for Sasha, if need be.
It's an interesting thing there because I think both of us are right. And, you know, sometimes when we have these kind of things, it's like, well, there's a very big chance that your call is going to be detrimental.
Yeah.
But I feel we're both right. Yeah. My point being, and I put this out on X yesterday, is that 10 years ago, a 20-year-old Andre Pollard was given the start over Pat Lambie, I think it was, back then.
The GOAT,
and Pat Lambie. And Pollard hit the line and he ran in two tries by himself because back in those days, nothing fucks with youth.
Yeah.
Fearless, body's
it
there.
It goes for it.
Before his knee injury. So that's great. And personally, I think Grant Williams is our best scrum off right now, and I would pick him as a starting person. But unfortunately, because of his versatility, it's come back to bite him, and he'll be a bench player, if I think, as long as we see. Because that open the bench covers more, allows Rassi more options. But if I were to be my own crystal ball, I would have Grant Williams, Sasha Feinberg, and Gomazulu. Those two have not started any of these tests together.
And you go, you can't start those guys against the All Blacks.
See, I disagree. I think they're good enough, but this team's good. Our forward pack's good. If our forward pack's shaky, don't start with the youngsters at the halfback because you're going to get sketchy ball and you're going to rush them into stuff. I think we've got a good enough forward pack that can really be this. And I think we just put Visa coming back at eight. We've got more grunts, which is going to make the job of the nine easier.
Right.
But ultimately, those are our picks for what the B, the A team. Into the centers, I think this is a very, very short little descriptor. Damien D'Alendi and JC Creel are the best center pairing in the whole world. And I think if you're absolutely honest with yourself, when we look back in rugby history, these oaks are going to be compared to Horan and Little, Bunce and...
I have no idea who you're talking about.
90s oaks that everyone talks about. I think these guys run rings around them. But like everyone, you know, great center pairings. Walter Little, Frank Bunce, Jason Little, Timmy Horan, Mao Nonu, Conrad Smith.
Now we're talking of...
Do whatever you want. These oaks are as good, if not better. So unanimous.
I've got a question. And because we had the conversation last week. I feel like Jesse Creel has played too much rugby, if that's a weird thing to say.
Dude, have you seen how that guy's
He's been the universal soldier. And obviously, I've got a soft spot for Lukanya Arm in this team. It was actually strange to see him drop, Damon D'Alendi drop last week.
Well, he was very much rested. Yeah.
Arrested. Sorry, I forgot. We can't say that.
That wasn't like Damon. We're tired of your game. Yeah,
okay, cool. Yeah. Rotation.
Big time rotation.
I understand completely why we would put Jesse Creel and Damon D'Alendi. I think their combination play has been absolutely sensational. I want to see what happens next moving on with Lukanya Arm because it kind of feels like he's losing space between, you know, Damien D'Alendi and Jesse Creel because once Jesse Creel got the gap over Lukanya Arm, he ran to the heels. There's actually no longer any justification to say Lukanya Arm over Jesse Creel, you know.
But it's also like Jesse Creel doesn't just take the opportunity. He became a structure of the team. The box are a better defensive team when he's at 13. It's been proven. And then people say, well, okay, great. That's one of his aspects. But he still has attacking flair and he still links other guys around. And as Michaela points out in the comments here, Jesse Creel brings women to watch rugby.
That's the most important
part.
Can't
fight that.
Apparently, that's the most important
part.
That center combination, I just, you know, moving forward, it's going to be a heartbreak to see Lukanya run into the abyss like how he's going to. I think it's becoming a wrap.
I'm not trying to be hyperbolic here just to actually agree with you. Yeah. But when Lukanya Am was playing, it was very clear that you would say he was the greatest Bok 13 that we've seen in the modern era.
Yeah.
Because obviously you can't compare to Donnie Herber. But people, Shark Fury for me was the best number 13.
I still rate.
And when you watch Lacanya again, he was just so great. Yeah. And now Jesse Creel has somehow superseded him to the point where it's like, I don't see how Lacanya gets back.
Yeah, that's the sad part for me. And it's a thing. And look, he's had a great career. I'm not saying it's over. He will probably have his chance. So
he's only what, 30 years old?
Yeah, Jesse Creel, Demian Diallindi, best center combination in the world right now.
Outside backs, Vili is ooching his way towards 100. I'd pick him at 15. I think so will Rassi. And then Cheslin and Kirtley as our wings. Again, for me, that's like, we've got all this depth. Fassi, I think, gets better and better as a proper fullback.
Yeah.
We know what we've got with Mapimpi. I'm going with those three, and I think it's just as easy as the center combos, really.
Yeah. Vili Leroux. I always worry now about when Vili plays because it's... he's one hit away. We all know that, if you watch rugby, he's had two concussions, is probably the past year.
He had two concussions in the space of 3 weeks or 2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks. It feels like a gamble every time we pick him. And anytime he gets into a hard tackle, everybody holds their breath. So I hope he gets through it. He adds such a great veteran presence to, that back line. Those two, Kudli Aronsa and, Cheslin Kolbe, they're the most, dominating, try scorers in the game right now. You can't play without them. But Vili Leroux, I hope he gets through it because we need to get to 100 there.
So as we're not going to debate the back three there, Dylan's had an interesting comment here on the YouTube channel saying that Lacanya grew up playing flank. I did not know this. I'm taking Dylan's word on this.
Dylan, send us an article.
Who then suggests that, when you grow up, Ibn Etzebeth grew up playing wing. So, I don't know how deep we're going to go on this whole growing up thing. Yeah, he played wing. Because, when you're growing up, just do whatever the coach tells you to do. So, look, Dylan's point, if we are going to make this valid, it says his fetching skills and defensive work are top class because of this, and he plays to the breakdown better.
Better than Jesse Creel?
Yeah.
I don't think so anymore.
I don't think it's one of those real stand-up performance things that you look for and to say, his breakdown work's not as great, so therefore we're going to...
Yeah, it's not going to be a deal-breaker between him and Jesse Creel.
Flex, can you bring up that screen there with the whole team so we can reference that before we look at what an injury-free box team looks like? So just go back one, because... there we go. So if you look at the screen now, if you are watching us live, this is what I reckon would be... We can nitpick around which halfbacks start, which halfbacks finish. We can nitpick which hooker starts, which hooker finishes, and how you would play Arkia Snyman. Is he going to be the guy who starts? Is he going to be the guy that finishes? Either way, I think we're pretty confident that this is the 23 that's going to be the best BOC A team 23 right now.
Look, for me, we've had this Stephen Kitsoff. I would have wanted him to start, but Malcolm Marx. I'm not mad at this.
Stephen Kitsoff, of course, is coming off quite a long lay injury. Yeah. So long lane injury layoff. Flex, if you just bring up the next slide. So
I worry that eight, man. Jasper Visa, as good as he's been, that eight feels weak compared to the rest of the team.
He's been with the squad the entire time, right? So,
yeah.
So it hasn't been just like chilling in Velcom or wherever he's from. He's been with this camp.
Yeah, and Andre Pollard starts, guys. Please, man.
Okay. Flex, can you bring up what a fully fit? Okay, so now, hypothetically, if we were to talk about this BOC team now with no injuries, so if everyone full bill of health, who have we got? Damien Willemsen for me comes straight in.
Yep.
Okay. Number nine, I would go with Jaden Hendrickson. I know he's fit again. He is back in the mix. I love what that guy does at number nine. I think he showed that he might have been ahead of Fuff before the injuries came into play. I would bring him straight in. Him as a halfback pairing with Sasha Feinberg and Gomazula, I think would be absolutely dynamite.
You're really rating Sasha Feinberg over Andre Pollard. You're really going
I just think that if we show the faith now,
we get the rewards.
It's only going to be worth the investment. Andre Pollard's safety.
Yeah, but that's what we need for a New Zealand team. No, you don't feel like that?
You give New Zealand far too much respect.
They took us to the, they took us down the line for a World Cup final with one less player. We've got to put respect in them.
Yeah, but we always get heavy with emotion. We're going to draw them this time. A fully fit BOC forward pack for me is Franco Mustard comes in at number five. The guy's work rate is off the charts. He managed the lines really well. I would start with Kitsoff and I would end with Ox.
Is that just based on fitness, not on form?
No. So fully fit, okay. So now this is as good as we can get.
But no. Because
I firmly believe in the bomb squad. Not because it's like they're not sure of of selection.
Yeah.
I believe it's the best way to beat any team in this world.
Even post the rules and everything, we're probably not going to be scrumming as much. So you don't want to win it early.
It is a fair point. But as we showed on the weekend, we're still going to maul you till the 80th minute.
100%.
So that would be me. That would be me as far as the fully fit Bok team.
Yeah, for me, look, it would be an injustice not to give Oxenchi a run just simply because of how his form. I'm not mad at what you've picked.
But he's always think of the England game, huh? That Oaks fresh legs in that second half literally won
us. But the rules are different. You see now,
we're still going to scrum, though. I mean, not every team's going to pull at Australia and go, sorry, our entire, everyone over under kilograms has gone for an HIA.
Are we allowed to talk about that quickly?
Sure.
Is that not an abuse of the rules?
Of course it is. But this is Australia.
Okay.
In Australia.
I was like, that's terrible.
It's lame. I mean, any self-respecting bunch of rugby players.
Grown men.
I mean, I don't know if a flank would come on at least try scrum if this was like a day of honor.
That was so dishonorable. I was like, guys, come on.
That's the only way to describe it. So, yes, Wallaby, it's dishonorable.
Yes, 100%.
You're at your absolute low right now. This is as bad as it gets. Half an hour for 30 minutes.
He said, nah,
there were no scrums. 30 minutes.
Jeez, that was crazy. Yep.
Okay, so next Tuesday, we'll obviously see what Rassie believes his team is, because that's when it'll be announced. Next week, we've obviously got All Blacks at Ellis Park. I'm going to this match. I'm so damn excited about this.
That's crazy. That's
the
dope.
Week after at Cape Town Stadium. Back-to-back World Cup final rerun.
Must see rugby. That's going to be, you know, anytime the Boks play the All Blacks, it's never boring.
Exactly. You know,
it really unites us. And you know, Cape Town going to be full because apparently all Cape Town people support the All Blacks, which is the wildest thing.
No, that's not like it used to be. Anyway, we'll have a proper rundown between, because we got so much to preview around that. Yeah. One of the things we're going to touch on, the fact that no matter how dominant or how much of favorites we are, our record recently at Ellis Park is actually pretty shite against the All Blacks.
So, well, I know you got this.
We'll get into this next week.
Next week, sorry, guys.
Put it this way. Seven guys in this All Black team haven't even been to South Africa as rugby players, as in toured with the All Blacks.
Oh.
That's going to come into it, I think.
Yeah, sorry, all guys, right. We get into the preview.
We've got to get into football here. We've got to get into football. First round of EPL, what did you take out of that?
Look, guys, I think the people that needed to win won. Liverpool won. And, you know,
little Spurs burn right off the bat, huh?
I didn't even start there. I was going to give them some time. Liverpool won. I think what's important about
comfortably,
that.
Comfortably, yeah.
They won comfortably. They've got a new system, but it works. And it's the post-Klopp era. You know, anything can be a slippery slope. So I'm okay with that win. But what's interesting moving forward is that it looks like this may be Mo Salah's last year as a Liverpool player. Things have leaked like that. So it might be a nice farewell tour for him. But first game, got the win. Arsenal played well as well. What's interesting about Arsenal is that defensively they are so strong. You know, we always talk about Arsenal's, you know, forward line and how they play enterprising football. The back line for me was impressive. They never looked like they were going to leak a goal. So shout out to Arsenal on that. My team won. Contrary to
your team, Man United.
Man United.
Just right out of the blocks there.
The positive on that is it's a completely new team, new system. We will take the dub. That's all I'm going to do. And, you know, Zurzik scored on debut, a tap-in, a true striker's goal. A shout out to Ruud van Nistelrooy. So I'm happy with that.
So sorry, that was the 87th minute, right?
Yes, when he came on like 20 minutes earlier.
Okay, so 87 minutes that took to get the goal.
First of all, we missed a lot of sitters, but it's, you know, you're getting your legs under you. You know, we're doing all the things that footballers do. You know, it's going to be better. It's going to be better this weekend. But that was awesome. Leicester Tottenham. Jamie Vardy's still going. And fucking telling Tottenham fans, get out of here. I've won a league. You haven't won shit. I love Jamie Vardy because, once again, he's a testament to the old school era of football, playing for one team he's like, gives me Alan Shearer vibes, you know.
It's so
like,
true, because when Leicester won the league, he could have got a big payday somewhere
and
else.
All the offers were there. He was one of the best strikers in Europe. Yeah. And he went, people forget, this is a guy who went down. He went down with Leicester, came back, you know, injured, got into the tunnel, had a Red Bull scored. I mean, Jamie Vardy having a party. That's my guy. And
Leicester's not exactly the most amazing place in the whole world, huh?
I mean,
if you want to live in a place in this great world of ours, Leicester doesn't, it's not like the top 10. Even in England, it's not even a nice place to live.
It's giving like a bloom, apparently.
Not even. Valcom,
Hector.
Let's go more with Valcom for Leicester.
Man City does what Man City do. You know, we... There was nothing, you know, to even speak about it. You know, they won. Haaland scored. If you play fantasy, you get your fantasy points, you know. So that was awesome. Test is going to be the next week. You know, EPL is always like that. James, it felt like you had something to say.
No, of course. So, James, obviously, after the Klopp era, I mean, how do you feel your team got off
fantastic. Out of the blocks? A win is a win.
No, I'm with you, James, on that. That was a big win.
It's also interesting to see how quickly they've changed their style of football and actually adapted to it. Man. And still pulled off quite a comfortable win, as Ben says. So I think Liverpool's in for... I don't want to be that guy. It's been one game.
That's also another thing I wanted to say. But the one thing that we know for sure is that Tottenham's going to be shit. You know,
for sure.
That's the one thing we can all take about this is you don't draw the first game.
No, you shouldn't. But I tell you what, Tottenham are going to come back hard this weekend. I tell you what, they're going to
limp.
Are they capable of that?
They're playing Everton at home.
They're going to get hands from Everton. Everton is no joke, guys.
I reckon, and again, this is the Arsenal in me coming through. I normally would like want to dog them, kick a dog while they're down, kick a Spurs while they're down. But I think they're going to bounce back pretty hard against Everton. That's Saturday's game. Your Oaks are playing Brighton away. How nervous are you about that?
No, I'm not nervous at all. I'm not nervous at all. Look, we've got a good record against Brighton. Last game we won 2-0, even though it was, you know, a walk-off game. But I'm okay about that. I'm more worried about Arsenal.
So Arsenal, Aston Villa, that's the other big game this weekend.
Oh, my favorite fixture for Arsenal fans.
I don't think Arsenal likes playing against teams that have maroon and turquoise in their colors, because last season, I love this graphic, last season they dropped 6 points to Aston Villa and they dropped 3 points to West Ham. Sandile, if you see that, they dropped 0 to Man United.
That's
I think.
Okay. You don't get a medal for, you know, any of that stuff you're talking about.
But yeah, Aston Villa versus Arsenal, it's great because I remember in the past, opening days, the first few rounds, Arsenal have lost to Aston Villa. And that sucks. But like, this team has to show right from the off that they're going to be title contenders now.
Yeah, they got to, especially because Aston Villa is the team that made them lose the league. I don't even want to even read the comment. Aston Villa's the...
It's never a safe place. Yeah. I mean, as Michaela's writing there, Arsenal, great start, not great in the finishing part. Yeah.
So Arsenal, you know, this is the team. This was their bogey team last year. They had the buffer. They lost those 6 points. Yeah. And that was it.
No, that was it.
And especially now with the EPL being as tight as it's going to be. If you're going to chase Pep, you've got to win every single game and hope he drops.
And I reckon that's why Arsenal are going to win this one. Because even in preseason, they'll be like, obviously we'll get through the Wolves. Beating Aston Villa is a psychological statement this team is going to make.
But we're not talking about how good Aston Villa is.
I know we're not.
Guys, they're champions. I'm right. How many is their Champions League team, right?
I don't want to talk about how good they are because it doesn't change anything. No, last year they were top four.
They're top four.
We spoke about this last week. Because
yeah, they're top four. They had a really great season and they have got a great team.
Are you doubting Aston Villa?
Yeah. Dude, they took 6 points off Arsenal and they came second.
I doubt Chelsea at this point. Like, I mean... Aston Villa is easy to doubt.
Well, obviously, we doubt Chelsea.
Oh, we've got to talk about the Man City Chelsea stuff, right?
Sure.
Okay, look,
we have to be quick on this though. We've got so much.
Sorry, guys. So Man City played Chelsea. Look, anybody who plays Man City on an opening day, it kind of sucks for you.
But
give it a bash. You've got 45 players or like, you know, 70 players on your team. You can surely, you know, give us something. It feels like Chelsea have gotten more problems ahead of them. Then, you know, we know because they've got 50 players. Their superstars don't want to play. Raheem Sterling, as great as he has been, they gave away his number. They basically spat in his face. He's not even a number 7. And, you know, there's somebody called Michaela on the timeline who's probably, you know, seething at what I want to say, but I'm worried about Chelsea. I think they come in about like 10th this year. You know, it's going to be an interesting season for them.
Even with 55 players.
Even with 55.
Good Lord.
So, yeah, I mean, like they've set themselves apart if they're going to get injured. That's great. So they are playing Wolves away this weekend. So they should get some points there to kind of right the ship, so to speak. But not entirely surprised if it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Man City are at home to Ipswich. So Ipswich battles with fire straight off the bat.
Yeah.
But that'll be the weekend's games. I mean, we'll get more into it in the calls because this weekend, Sandile and I are going head to head with the pick six of the EPL.
Yeah,
but we need to talk Formula One. Obviously, we started the show by telling you about the Heineken Race Sundays. So this weekend, it is the Dutch Grand Prix. It is the first of the remaining 10 that have to happen. So if you look at the current driver standings, Verstappen's on 277 points. You think obviously it's his to lose, as it always is. you got Lando Norris on 199 points, and then Charles Leclerc 177, Oscar Piastri 167, and Carlos Sainz 162. It is Max's to lose, and I know it sounds very dismissive of me to say that, but do you see any of those oaks that are really potentially going to make a run?
Look, for me, you know, Google the strange stat. It is the first time Max has been winless for this long, since 2020, if I'm correct. I think Max is going to, you know, home Grand Prix, going to go for it. But what is interesting about this season, and which is exciting for Formula One fans, is that you really can't call it. I sneakily, if that is a word, have...
It very much is now.
Thank you. I have Piastri taking it.
You reckon?
I have Piastri taking it, and... Lewis coming third. Lewis with George coming third, and then Max is going to come second.
Yeah.
And I'm going into my crystal ball on this is just because Max is the first time where people have questioned Max, you know. And
he's given a reason for that.
Exactly. And I think there is, the cars are better now. People are catching up to Red Bull. So the gap to make errors is so much less. And we've seen Lando drive so great. We've seen Piastri and, you know, Piastri and Leclerc drive great, but I think Max will come second.
So what I do want to ask you on this is that, yeah, what do you think McLaren's dynamics are? We saw that really weird, was it Austria?
Yeah.
What was the thing where Lando was going to win and it's like, sorry, Oscar's having a cry, please pull over. It was almost like parents going, shit, we got to let him win, otherwise he's going to cry all the way home. So just please step aside.
Man, they do
him because it makes no sense, because Lando's got the best shot at taking on Max, and they made him like spurs the points there.
So I feel like they were going for constructors or something on that, so we just make sure we double up on the points. But I think you back Lando, you know. He is so close now, and this is what's going to be so exciting moving into the second half of the season. Is it's been a while since, you know, there is a smallish, I say smallish, it's still a biggish gap, but Lando was there and thereabout. So I'm really hoping that Lando gives it a bash, because then, you know, this is how we get back into, you know, bringing fans into Formula One.
Totally.
You know, if the reason I like Formula One is when Max and Lewis went to the last day, you know. So that's what we need for Formula One. Make it more marketable. Bring people into it. So I really, really, really want Lando to have a great season. So, you know, it becomes a drive to survive type of season. You know, it's been by Max.
Which it absolutely should be. Just to wrap up the other guys there, I mean, Ferrari, they just can't seem to get the consistency at any stage, which really does suck for them. Like, they got two good races. I mean, say what you want to call it, science. Yep. The guy's good.
Yeah, no,
but there's no consistency with these oaks. So they're almost in touching distance if they put a bit of a run on, but you think too far ahead are the other guys. And then Mercedes, basically the rest of the season's for pride. We saw glimpses of brilliance. Lewis has come back hard. George Russell's race in the Belgian Grand Prix was incredible. Sadly, he was underweight.
Oh, duck. And I don't know, that's the margins. And he's not even that overweight. That's crazy.
No, but it wasn't so much the fact that he suddenly had a couple sneaky hamburgers. It was the car was set up to be the wrong way.
So. Yeah, so I wanted to ask you, going into now Mercedes, the second half of the season, we know that writing's on the wall, it's done with Lewis. Do you now push George now to make sure he pulls more?
I kind of feel like there's a combination of them doing that, and he's also stepped up a hell of a lot as a racer.
So you say that, go race it out between the two of you guys.
But George,
or do you make
one.
The bad calls as Toto would do? Do you make the bad calls and say, you know what, Lewis, go back and let my guy get the confidence moving into a new season?
I think that's kind of what they're going to do, and it's only fair. It's like, Lewis, get points, be you.
But
still a Mercedes driver. But in the case that there's going to be a favoritism here, it's obviously going to be the kid who's not running away.
Yeah, so it's going to be exciting. I'm glad that Formula One is back.
So we've got 10 races. So as much as Verstappen is going to be like the favorite here, of course, you've got to look at the breakdown. So first place in the race is always 25 points. Then we got 18 points for second, 15 for third. Fourth place gets 12 points, and fifth place gets 10. So the guys have to be competitive over these 10 races now. And then there's going to be three more sprint races in the remaining Grand Prix. So there's also points available there.
So, Ben, before you move on, and I don't want to interrupt you, please can you break down, you know, the points dynamic between a sprint and a full-on race? Because I think, you know, we got to explain it to everybody else.
So the thing with the sprint race, James, you might have to like double-check me on this, but I think with a sprint race, it is 10 points for the win. Basically, it's increments of one all the way down to eighth place.
Okay.
So I think it's not a huge gap. I think I stand corrected here, but it's either 12 or 10 to get the sprint race.
Cool.
So in the main thing is 25.
Yep.
But when you get into a sprint, so I think it's going to be, there's three more sprint races to go in the whole season. And like, it's a great dynamic, and it's great that they dotted around to make it more interesting. And you can sort of like 40% up on the points. You've got double your points.
And it counts all holistically to the overall points, right?
Yeah, completely. Oh, just awesome. Like with fastest lap, you get a point there.
Yeah.
So those little carrots are around. Mm. But ultimately, come Sunday, you want to win. But 10 races, that this is the most exciting. This is where I'm going with the points here. This is the most exciting we've had it in so many years now.
Yeah.
And just to go through, we've got the Dutch one this weekend. Then it's the Italian on September the 1st. 15th, Azerbaijan, September 15th. Singapore, street circuit, 22nd of September. Then there's a bit of a break because on the 20th of October, it goes back to USA. 27th of October, Mexico. 3rd November, Brazil. 23rd November, back at USA, Las Vegas. That was a weird race, but it was a fun race last
year. Weird. I didn't get it, but it was just American showmanship. That's all it was.
It's great. And then December the 1st, Qatar. And then 8th of December will be the final race, Abu Dhabi, which is the big grand finale. So yeah. Formula One's in a really great place. Damn exciting.
I've got a question to ask you guys. Yeah. So Mercedes, before the summer break, they actually became, I don't want to say consistent because that's definitely the wrong word to use.
You can say consistent.
It became purposeful. They became purposeful. Trigger covers that's with this word. Changing background.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, Mercedes kind of picked up a little bit of consistency heading into the summer break.
Yeah.
Is that going to continue for the last 10 races of the season? I mean, Lewis has got something to race for, even though he's leaving.
I would definitely say yes, because their car was remarkably faster than the rest. You know, they always have these different upgrades, right?
Yeah.
And we saw Max take a massive penalty because of his powertrain. Mm. So they're all going ebbs and flows. The front wing of the Mercedes car came into play. Suddenly those oaks were good. Yeah. But Lewis was talking about the fact that George gets it, but he might not get one.
Yeah.
That front wing was a game changer.
Yeah, and I think they, unlike Red Bull, where Checo has been nowhere this season, I think they have, you know, they've ran a consistent race. I'm just more worried about the politics moving towards the end of the, you know, the end of the season, because George is not going to accept Lewis going in front and having a farewell tour. It was his call going to Ferrari. So George is going to say, I'm the star of this team. If it's getting close and I've got to win a race, I'm not going to slow down for anybody. He's going to go and challenge Lewis. And we've been seeing it consistently moving from last year going into this year. I think George really, it's really about managing George's ego and what Toto wants moving forward, because he's got to back his star and he's got to make his star not insecure at all.
So just to confirm on the sprint race points, I was right initially. Eight points for the win, and then it goes in increments of one all the way down to eighth place. All right, so we need to get into the weekend's calls, because Sandile and I are going to go with some pretty high stakes.
Yes,
there's a lot on these calls right now. And again, apologies last week for Argentina being so completely dog shit.
Oh, we got to give a big apology.
I was basically going to give you free money by saying, obviously, the box on handicap. Obviously, Drickus is going to win.
Shit.
And then Argentina. Damn you, Oaks.
God, absolutely. But we spoke about the... Oh, my God.
Anyway, we're going to come back off this little break, and then we get into the stakes. And then all your viewing questions, James is going to line them up, and we have some more discussion around that.
Sweet.
All right, so this weekend we've got rugby. This weekend we've got rugby, we've got Formula One, and we've got lots and lots of football. So going on to Superbets right now is so exciting for me, because EPL fixtures, right? I'm going to do the thing now. We're going to take six of the best. Something is going to do the same. We're going to see who comes out on top. So my pick six for the weekend in the English Premier League are as follows. I'm going Man United Brighton for a draw. Obviously, Spurs to win, Man City to win, Arsenal to win, Chelsea to win, Liverpool to win. That gives me odds of 22.57. Hypothetical 100, 2,357 Rand.
So we're going to fight, me and Ben, and we've got some high, high stakes. Man City to win, United to beat Brighton, Aston Villa to beat Arsenal. I know everybody's going to fight me on that.
No chance.
Spurs to beat Everton, Liverpool to win, Newcastle to win. And guys, this week we're making it super, super exciting on the odds. I've got to take an ice bath. if I lose my odds, and he's going to watch 90 minutes of Man United. We're really upping the stakes. So my $100, your $100, our $100 as each other's people will get you a hypothetical 4,784 on SuperBet. Please, guys, come join us.
All right, so we got great odds for these, and I guess you should also follow that. But there's the extra thing we're going to talk about here. You just said you're going to take an ice bath.
Oh, let's go.
Now, as long as I've known you, you've said to me, ice bath is the stupidest thing you can do. I can't believe anyone does that. I'm never going to do it in my life. So you actually willingly going to get stuck into this.
Fuck, Ben.
We've just both given you the pick six, okay? So even if we don't get it completely right, whoever gets it the most right is the winner between us. So obviously we got our bets, but the most right between us, right?
Yep.
Okay, cool. I don't watch 90 minutes of football. I sure as hell don't watch 90 minutes of Man United play. So yep. I think that's a pretty level punishment.
Yeah. The ice bath.
The ice bath's easy ice work. Easy. Compared to watching 90 minutes of United.
Guys, we're an enterprising football team.
Wait, hang a second. So how many minutes in the ice bath then, James? You get to decide.
90. No, I'm kidding.
No, come on.
In the ice bath, sure. How long is too long before you get like hypothermia and stuff?
I don't know. Well, Ben, you got to give me the safety regulations.
He's not going from like the couch to Wim Hof here. Let's give him a minute. A minute at 8 degrees.
I'll say 2.5 minutes.
James, that's a bit sadistic. See, give us like a chair and a light and a background.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're going to go for a minute at 8 degrees.
Yeah.
Cool. I think that's fair.
And you got 90 minutes of...
now all of a sudden, it's like I'm losing. So
you got 90 minutes. And we're going to do, you know, the whole pre-lineups, pre-match build-up. Yeah, we're going to do... You can't just walk...
You got to watch match day also.
Yes, you've got to have, you know, the full experience.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so worried.
Comments, can you get us to a top comments and wrap up the show with that as usual? But for the rest of the weekend, of course, there's Curry Cup that's back in the mix here. Yeah. Not if you're a Western Province fan. I think we're too far gone now. But Blue Bulls are taking on Griquas Friday at 7:05. Saturday, we'll get Province at home to the Natal Sharks at 3:00. The Cheetahs are taking on the Lions at 5:00. And then Sunday, we'll have Griffins versus the Pumas. Just to quickly run you through the English Premier League again. So Saturday, big day, Brighton versus Man United. If you're not watching that ever, Hobbs 1. Spurs, Everton, the big bounce back for Spurs at 4:00. Man City versus Ipswich Town at 4:00. Arsenal will to go away to Aston Villa at 6:30 on the Sunday. Wolves Chelsea at 3:00. Liverpool Brentford at 5:30. And a huge weekend of golf as well. The BMW Championships are part of the big FedEx Cup. The best of the best on the PGA Tour. So BMW Championships this weekend. And then the Women's Open Championship.
Yes, sir.
So that's the final major for the ladies. So huge weekend for that. How are we looking on the comments?
Before we jump into those comments, I just want to talk about Bafana Squad.
Oh, of course. Bafana
Squad came out, road to AFCON. We're playing Sierra Leone and Uganda, if I am correct. Super, super exciting, you know, lineup that Hugo Bruce has called up. A mix of international and local. We always know the spine is going to be Sundowns based, but very exciting and... I don't know how to pronounce his name. I know I'm going to butcher it. It's Simon.
Okay, please do. I hate being the only guy that butchers names in the show.
Simon Funder, Devon Boudin from Vitesse, first call up. He was super excited to get that call.
It sounds like a craft beer. Do that one again.
Simon Funder, Devon Boudin.
You nailed that.
First call up from Vitesse. 22 years old. I really love what Hugo Bruce is doing with that. Bringing in a lot more international players into the system. We've got Luke Leroux as well from Sweden. Who's going to come up. We know how great we've been. I think he really wants to make a statement going into AFCON. He wants to make it super easy. So it looks like a very strong squad, but also a mix of new talent that's coming in.
Oh, very nice. So because as we said, like I think about 8 shows ago, it'd be great to be excited about Bafana. We have no problems with cheering on everybody.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of those things like Bafana players, they just keep clapping until it's their turn.
Yeah, 100%.
So it'd be great to see them. And this is another thing that when Drukas won over the weekend, we saw Sio Khaleesi and Ibrahim Etzebeth in his corner as he walked out there. Yeah. Those guys were there. There's so much cool interlinked pride here.
Yeah.
It's not about one team or one person on a pedestal. Everyone is feeling this vibe right now of being so great and so African.
Yeah, guys, I hope I got it right. Simon Funder, Devon Boudin. Yeah, so that's super exciting. I think he gives a lot of, you know, dynamic play to him. He's super tall and he's a great finisher as well. So that's going to be exciting. And I think we did miss some good height in the, you know, in AFCON. But we can only build from this. We've been very good in the qualifiers moving forward. So this is going to be super exciting.
Let me have a look in the comments there when you wrap this up.
Let's do some.
Let's do some. It's like, it's like he's waiting for this whole future.
Shout out to our homeboy Dirk.
Maybe we should actually turn the camera off. Yeah, he's a bit slow to that.
Hey, shout out Dirk. We saw you in the comments.
I was going to jump in with Dirk to start okay, with, Dirk, actually. Yeah. Back to the rugby. What do you guys think of this one?
Do we need an extra player in the matchday squads to include an extra dedicated prop to avoid uncontested scrums? Dirk, I think it's just an Australian problem here. I think every other team is self-respecting enough that you're gonna have two props on the bench no matter what.
Look, I'm mad at the uncontested scrums, but as a tactic, fuck, it makes the game a little bit, you know, especially with a scrumming team like we do. I was just a dirty rugby.
Personally, I'd like to cite Australia for being pussies, and I'd like for them to run a 6 month.
I second that. I'd like to cite the Wallabies for being pussies,
and they must run a 6 month suspended sentence where they must buy all their fans beers,
100%, and us. Just, you know, bring them.
I don't want their beers. They're going to be full of estrogen.
Oh,
extra estrogen for those Aussies.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a scrum.
That was dark.
That was pretty
I really like that. That was dark of you, Ben.
Then we have this. Michaela's very passionate in the comments.
Oh, really? Okay.
She's jumped in once again. That's my face behind me. That's really weird to look at.
Michaela thinks that we're picking the wrong team. Okay, Michaela, I'll tell you what. Next Tuesday, when Brassy brings his team out, we're going to put our slide versus his slide. And that comment's going to come back to bite you, much like the Arsenal comment later in the season.
And the Chelsea one. Anyway, let's move forward.
I feel like you've got to be on your toes in the show. You've got to fight back.
Jeez, Michaela. Jesus.
I'm not going to be Australian here and roll over. Coming hard.
Dirk was quite a fan of your rugby analysis with that team choice and the team breakdown.
I did. It's the best position we've ever been in.
Except at eight, it's just weird. Eight, there's no superstar, but I think it's our Springbok standard.
Give Jasper Visser the sniff of Ellis Park. Like, put a blade of grass to his nose.
But we are worried about Villiru. Trust us, we're holding our breaths on Villiru. Every tackle.
Sandile, I think this one's more aimed at you.
Fuck me.
So Patrick says Man United scored late to win. Should always always the case since forever.
It's what champs are built of. Sir Alex Ferguson. My guy.
Timing their run.
Why would you just win 5-0 all the time? Why don't you make it exciting for marketing purposes and win 1-0?
Wow. I know we're running out of time, but I've got just like one or two more. We can run through this one probably real quickly. It's a little bit more in depth, but just in general. Your guys' thoughts on the best combination squad? I mean, real quickly.
The best combination of squad, as in not so much the... So, English Premier League best squads. Sandile, you can take this one.
Best squads for the season. Definitely still going to be Man City. I think winning formula is always, you know... And the best player on that team is Pep Guardiola because he knows how to win it. And he'll get rid of players, replace players, but championship mindset always is number one.
I'm glad you brought that up. My dad sent me something on Instagram yesterday about how happy they are just to kick players into touch if they're not pulling their weight or they don't want to be there.
Yep.
Like, Pep doesn't care if... Like,
you're the best. I mean, he made KDB off the bench.
You can be this phenomenal player. If you so much as look like down at training and be like, do you want to be here? Do you want to be here? You can leave. Yeah.
So, you know, Pep Guardiola, Man City, got the best team, best mentality, championship mentality. And one thing about Pep, and he said it in the documentary, is that if you've won too much in my team, I've got to get rid of you because you left the hunger mentality. So that's the crazy thing about Pep. So,
exactly. It's like to use what Drickus was saying over the weekend, because we've got to put Drickus into every sporting 100%. Analogy. He goes into that ring and the title's no longer his. Like anyone else, he's got to fight for that title every single time. Yes, he's the champion, but the title's not his anymore.
100%.
When the guy's across from him. All right, we forgot to mention something a little bit earlier because we obviously try to give you as much as we can on the show. Obviously, with Superbets, if you go on to superbets.co.za, if you're new to the Goal Gaming thing, then we'll match your bet up to 5,000 Rand on the bet voucher there. So that's obviously very cool because we give you so many things to put the money onto. And then obviously with Grand Prix coming back so hard, we want you to win there as well. So this weekend, fastest lap, we mentioned that it gets you a point. It's a bit of a lottery. You think the best driver can be fastest lap. Not necessarily. Some guys come in for fresh tires. They want to get that one point. So in the comments below on the YouTube feed, give us your prediction for who's going to have the fastest lap bonus point for this weekend at the Dutch Grand Prix. Doing so, we'll find a winner, and the winner will win a case of Heineken Zeros, which we'll deliver to your door.
Lekker.
It's pretty cool.
We're also looking for a female presenter, remember?
We are also looking for a female presenter, James. Well said.
Well said, James. Yes, we are still...
You can take this because I've already...
I wasn't ready for that. I was just reminding you.
Go ahead, Ben.
That was my big crescendo, guys. That was my big finale. So for the month of August, obviously being Women's Month, we are still on the lookout for a female presenter. Somebody who's going to do features for us, you know, because obviously we've got the studio setup, which is Sandile and I, but we're looking for someone who can bring a different perspective. So a female features presenter is someone we're looking for this month. So on to Instagram, drop us an audition. So it's like, you know, just present yourself in the best way that you think you're going to add value to this team. We're not looking for an hour-long structured sports report. You can talk about anything you want. You can just talk about Sandile if you want. You can talk about James if you want. You can talk about Chelsea if you want. You can talk about me, whatever it is. We just want to see how you are on camera, your passion for sport, and obviously the dynamic that you can add to the team. And then obviously in September, we'll get our best nominations. They'll be here in studio with us to obviously put you onto the show. And then October at the Red Bull event, which we've been speaking about, that's actually going to be the first assignment at the showrun.
It's going to be super exciting for you.
I'm so excited about that. You're going to be with us at the Red Bull showrun, and we'll be doing all kinds of content, which will then live on the show itself. Wow, guys, that was a very fast hour. We had to rattle through so much because, well, there is just so much. But next weekend, of course, rugby's back on the bill. Yeah. This weekend, cheer on our respective pick sixes.
Guys, sure, please.
I want to see Sandile in the ice bath.
Please, guys, we do not need that content in my life. We do not need me in an ice bath.
I'm here for it, guys.
All right, Cameron, is there anything else? I think we did pretty well there.
I think we're all good. Just
thank you for being here and on camera this time around. I feel like we just keep adding layers, huh?
Yeah, let's do that, guys.
All righty, guys. Wow. Catch you back next week. But otherwise, catch the podcast if you have you watching live. Otherwise, get engaged with us on the social media. Sports all weekend, every weekend. That's it on the Bounce Show. Catch you then.